the top five things pilots want to hear in the State of the Union. Airbus is taking shape in Alabama, and a milestone step toward replacing Hubble. This is Aero News for Tuesday, January 28, 2014. I'm Glenn Moyer. In advance of tonight's sixth State of the Union address by President Barack Obama, the Airline Pilots Association has released its list of the top five things pilots want to hear in the president's address. And unlike a far more popular late-night top 10 list, this one is all business. In its release, the ALPA says it hopes the president will address 1. Open skies agreements that give U.S. airlines and employees a fair opportunity to compete in the global marketplace. 2. One level of safety for all pilots, the ALPA saying a tired pilot is a tired pilot, regardless of the plane he or she is flying. 3. Reform wide-body aircraft financing at the Export-Import Bank so as not to favor foreign airlines. 4. A new commitment to the U.S. airline industry by enhancing the airport experience for passengers, a renewed call in opposition to the Customs and Border Patrol pre-clearance facility located and now open at the Abu Dhabi airport. And 5. Promote fuel price stability and the evolution of advanced biofuels. The President's State of the Union address will, of course, be broadcast live tonight on all major news outlets. With the placement of the final truss atop the roof last week, the construction of the first building in the Airbus Mobile Assembly Line complex has reached an important milestone. The entire skeleton of the building can now be seen. This building is the final assembly line hangar, which is where A320 family aircraft will be assembled. The milestone was celebrated with the construction crew and project team members signing the final truss before it was lifted into position. Construction contracts for the other buildings in the complex will be awarded soon. First announced in July of 2012, the plant is located at the Brookley Aeroplex in Mobile, Alabama. Aircraft assembly is scheduled to begin there in 2015, with first deliveries from the Mobile facility beginning in 2016. Airbus anticipates the facility will produce between 40 and 50 aircraft per year by 2018. NASA's James Webb Space Telescope has passed its first significant mission milestone for 2014, a Spacecraft Critical Design Review, or SCDR. During the SCDR, the details, designs, construction, and testing plans, and the spacecraft's operating procedures were subjected to rigorous review by an independent panel of experts. The week-long review involved extensive discussions on all aspects of the spacecraft, to ensure the plans to finish construction would result in a vehicle that enables the powerful telescope and science instruments to deliver their unique and invaluable views of the universe. Richard Lynch, NASA's spacecraft bus manager for the James Webb Space Telescope at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, said, quote, "What this means is all of the designs are complete for the Webb, and there are no major designs left to do," end quote. The James Webb Space Telescope is the successor to NASA's Hubble Space Telescope. The European Union is set to co-finance a study looking at methodologies to support faster flight data processing for a more effective air traffic management in Europe. The over 6.6 million euro, or approximately $9 million in funding needed for the study, will come from the Trans-European Transport Networks Program. The study aims to increase the safety, capacity, flight efficiency, and cost-effectiveness of European air traffic management by accelerating the development and implementation of advanced flight data processing capabilities. When Aero News continues, growing biofuel in the desert, dressing for space at the South Pole, and anyone for a little global warming?
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
ADS-B will be mandatory for most aircraft by 2020 in the United States. But you can benefit from ADS-B today with the Bendix King KT-74 Mode S Transponder. The KT-74 meets the global mandates for ADS-B out when attached to a suitable WASP GPS and is plug-and-play, slide-in replacement for the Bendix King KT-76AC and KT-78A transponders.
Cub Crafters is unique in that we can design, prototype, and certify, and put into production an aircraft. There aren't very many companies in the world that can make that claim.
For more information on Cub Crafters aircraft, including the popular Carbon Cub, visit cubcrafters.com.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, January 28th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Boeing and research partners in the United Arab Emirates have made breakthroughs in sustainable aviation biofuel development, finding that desert plants fed by seawater will produce biofuel more efficiently than other well-known feedstocks. The Sustainable Bioenergy Research Consortium, or SBRC, affiliated with the Masdar Institute of Science and Technology in Abu Dhabi, will test these findings in a project that could support biofuel crop production in arid countries, such as the UAE. Jeffrey Johnson, President, Boeing Middle East, said, quote, "Boeing is committed to finding ways to reduce aviation's carbon emissions, and sustainable aviation biofuels is a key component of our strategy. Masdar Institute's biofuel research is showing tremendous potential, and we applaud Abu Dhabi's leadership and innovation in this critical area." End quote. SBRC's research success, announced at the World Future Energy Summit, continues the momentum for a sustainable aviation biofuel industry in Abu Dhabi. XP Antarctic, a crew of six experienced explorers, left Canada Thursday on the first leg of an unprecedented 45-day expedition to Antarctica. During their expedition, the team will be testing AstroSkin, a prototype smart shirt for space for the Canadian Space Agency. AstroSkin is a prototype medical monitoring system designed for astronauts. The shirt is equipped with a series of non-invasive sensors that automatically record and process the wearer's vital signs, sleep quality, and activity level. Although the system was designed with astronauts in mind, its ability to manage the wearer's medical data from any location holds great promise for patients on Earth requiring close medical surveillance, especially those in remote communities far from a doctor. CSA astronaut David St. Jacques, who has an avid interest in polar exploration, will follow and interact with the expedition members on social media during their mission. St. Jacques will wear an AstroSkin prototype during his regular exercise routine, comparing and sharing his experience with the crew in Antarctica. Speaking of Antarctica and other such cold places, having survived the polar vortex, much of the United States is now preparing for the polar plunge. And just in time, NASA scientists are telling us that 2013 tied with 2009 and 2006 for the seventh warmest year since 1880, continuing a long-term trend of rising global temperatures. With the exception of 1998, the 10 warmest years in the 134-year record have all occurred since 2000, with 2010 and 2005 ranking as the warmest years on record, according to an updated report. NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, which analyzes global surface temperatures on an ongoing basis, released the updated report Tuesday on temperatures around the globe in 2013. Their comparison shows how Earth continues to experience temperatures warmer than those measured several decades ago. The average temperature in 2013, just in case you're curious, was 58.3 degrees Fahrenheit, that's 14.6 Celsius, which is 1.1 Fahrenheit, or 0.6 degrees Celsius, warmer than the mid-20th century baseline. The average global temperature has risen, now jot this down, about 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit since 1880. That's according to NASA's new analysis. Well, of course, I can't speak for everyone, but I suspect many of us would like to see some real solid evidence of that global warming right about now. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks as always for listening. You're now cleared for departure.